a very apt time to be discussing the thick clouds. The Ovim Omrim, what is it that they say? Yoshes Choshech Sisroi, he concealed himself in darkness. Sevivoisov Sukosoi, surrounding him by his shelter, the shelter of those thick clouds. Cheshkas Maim Oveshechok, in the darkness of water and the clouds, the thick clouds of the heavens. And yes, we're talking about concealment, we're talking about Golus, we're talking about exile, and we're saying to Hashem, where are you? Where are you? There is no more apt time to discuss than here. We have a cloud hanging over us. It's Erev Tisha B'Av as I say these words. I want to examine something which I think is very pertinent for Tisha B'Av. It's the concept of a rhetorical question. Now, if this was a lighter time, I would make a whole joke of saying, do you know what a rhetorical question is? And then before you would answer it, I would say, don't answer that. What is the point of a rhetorical question? And this one is for answering. So there's a few points in psychology. Firstly, a rhetorical question is sometimes there for effect, to convince the other person of something. You're not actually looking to answer the question. A rhetorical question can be asked in such a state to an ovel, to someone who is in mourning, which is, of course, what's happening at Tisha B'Av. Don't try and comfort a person when basically they're still in a state of bereavement. Their beloved is still in front of them. That's Tisha B'Av for you. It's for effect. We're not looking for answers. It is not until after Chatzos, until after 1:07 tomorrow afternoon, that we can even begin to look for answers. Secondly, and I've always felt this about rhetorical questions, sometimes it's a rhetorical question simply because you know the answer. It's just sometimes too painful to say it, like yes, with an ovel. Or for reasons that we've discussed previously, for cognitive dissonance, it's too difficult to answer differently. But you know deep down. And if you think about it, Tisha B'Av and the Shabbos before actually really, really give us the rhetorical question of all rhetorical questions when it comes to discussing the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the destruction of everything that was precious to us on this day of many, many tragedies. And that is one word, and the word is Eicho. We saw it already in last week's Sedra. Eicho Esolavadi, how can I bear all these people? How can I do this? Moshe wasn't asking Hashem for advice on how to deal with them. He was saying, how can I take it anymore, as an expression, as a statement of effect? When Yeshaya, in Chazoin Yeshayahu, we spoke about the concept of Chazoin, a vision. He talks about the Kiro Ne'amono. How can it be that a people have fallen to be Lezoino, as a strange people, as a person of dubious actions, who was once upon a time so noble? And then, of course, tonight, the words Eicho, the word Eicho starts off. Eicho Yoshvo Vodod, Ho'ir Rabosion. I know that some translate it as alas, but Eicho Yoshvo Vodod, Ho'ir Rabosion, how the city sits alone. Ho'ir Rabosion, it was once full of people, and now look at it. Rabosi Vagoyim, now it's just nothing. It's a point of mockery. Look how far we have fallen. But how can we fall so far? And of course, you can know the answers of the higher you are, the harder you fall. And people rub their hands with glee because they're always looking for the one who's on top to fall and fail. Absolutely. But we still ask the rhetorical question, how did it happen? Yoshva Vodod, and it sits alone. alone. And it's also rhetorical, is because we actually know the answer, don't we? And I think one of the clues is the very third word in Eichel. Eichel Yoshua Vodod. How she sits alone. There is someone else who is called alone. That's Hashem. Hashem Bodod Yanchenu, which itself brooks further investigation. But on the other end of the spectrum, we have a Metzoro, someone who has Tzoras, badly translated as leprosy, it's not leprosy. Someone who has Tzoras has to go out of the camp and sits Bodod, alone, Mechutz L'machaneh, outside the camp, hood over his face, and has to sit like an ovel, like a mourner. And if you realize this, you'll realize that this is the key to why it's a rhetorical question. Because a Metzora is a Metzora for one of a number of reasons. It's not just Lashon Hara, but yes, Lashon Hara is one of the main reasons. It's for negative attitudes towards other people. It's arrogance, it's Lashon Hara, it's a certain hatred, certain things that can give a person tzoras. And we know that the reason that we are in Golus and we don't have that temple and that Yerushalayim sits alone like a widow is because of that sinas chinam, because of the kamsa and bar kamsa, but not just because of them. That was just one focal point of an endemic problem. The whole of society had gone rotten. So that's why it's Eichel. How could it have happened? But we know. Now, what's interesting is the very first time in Tanakh that the word Eichel appears, says Chazal, it's in the introduction to the Medrash on Eichel, is when Adam sins. Adam is eaten from that fruit, and Hashem says the word, he comes looking, he says, Adam hid. And Hashem says, Ayeka, where are you? Aleph Yud Kaf Hey, same letters as Eichel. Which everybody asks, well, just because it's the same letters? It's not even the same words, not even the same vowels. But no. Hashem is asking Adam a question. He's not asking, where are you geographically? And Adam's so ashamed, he hides. And yes, there are the seeds of doubt, which we said, those are the seeds of doubt of Amalek, who come along and say, yeah, well, maybe God doesn't take such an interest. That's why maybe he doesn't know exactly where you are. But deep down, Adam knows. Ayeka, where are you? Eichel so means how? How? How could you have possibly fallen? Eich noflu giboirim, how the mighty have fallen. It's what David says about Shaul and Yonason. It's what is often said, Rachmon Litzlon, a Levi of a great person. Where are you? Where should you be? And therefore, who are you? We understand that on Tisha B'Av, we are in a state of being lost. We've lost everything. And if you want to know what it means to mourn tonight and tomorrow, understand this. Because people say, how is it possible to be able to feel something about a temple that's just long gone? We once spoke about the story of Yirmiyahu HaNavi meeting one of the great Greek philosophers and really telling him what it means to lose a temple, a place that gave you clarity. With the loss of clarity came a loss of sense of identity and of direction. Where are you? Who are you? And we just don't know anymore. That is what we are suffering. There's no words of comfort at the moment. What we do know is that if it happened because of sinas chinam, then avas chinam, loving other people, unconditional positive regard, that is the way forward. With that, then there's some kind of restoration possible on this darkest of days.